Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while. You know, consistency is a heck of a thing. Apparently, I'm not consistent at anything. Anyways, let's get back to the story at hand. What an incredible couple months. You had the Super Bowl. Now we got the NFL Combine. And we're going to have the NFL Draft. Before I get started today, I'm going to talk a lot about the NFL, right? I'm also going to talk about one trip as a sports fan you have to make. I don't know if it's a bucket list item, but it's definitely pretty close as far as going out and enjoying a golf event that just, you know, you can do it right. And you don't have to, you know, spend an arm and a leg like if you want to go to the Masters, but I still think you'd get that same type of experience. All right. So first things first, I want to give a shout out to my man, Lovie Smith. Lovie Smith, one of the, you know, greatest Bears coaches ever, right? Brought the Bears to a Super Bowl, the only Super Bowl I've been able to experience as a fan. You know, he won that last game, which definitely shouldn't have, probably didn't need to, but he did. And now the Bears are in the number one spot. So as a Bears fan, very, very blessed. Can't forget of how we got to where we are. Obviously, a lot of piss poor play got us there, but very blessed, right? So shout out to Lovie Smith. But now, I want to tell a little bit of story what you have to do, right? So when the Super Bowl is happening the same week usually is the waste management, right? You've probably seen commercials on it, the waste management. Everyone was throwing beers on the 16th green, the 16th. Green is a par three, and it's an enclosed par three. You want the golfers walk in and out of tunnels to get in there. The atmosphere is insane. People are cheering, yelling. They put music on for the guys to come up. It's awesome. And now it's an elevated event. Really, what that means is they're paying out, you know, one of the top, I think, 10 events cash-wise for the golfers. So you're getting all the best golfers in the world. Actually, I think we got the top 50 golfers were there this year. So why I tell you got to do this, one, is all the people aren't the traditional golf fans that you would think. And I know golf's transitioning into a younger crowd, but like it's not just, you know, an older crowd that's just like everyone's like, shh. You know, everyone's all quiet and everything. It's not like that. You know, the people are super, super friendly. You got people going out there with, you know, smaller groups of people for the most part. Everyone's friendly, trying to talk to people. So the conversation at every hole that you walk around or you go check out or whatever, if you're on the 16th hole, if you're just walking around, it is incredible. Also, the waste management does a heck of a job where they have, you know, I think like 6 or 7 holes where it's a fun atmosphere. They got music going. They got, you know, a bunch of TVs. They got things that are set up, not just, you know, here's a couch and, you know, sit down and be quiet or, you know, but they have phone chargers galore and everything. The waste management was at the same time in Phoenix this year. And so was the Super Bowl. It was incredible. I'll tell you, went with a buddy, insane, 10 out of 10 trip. Why? Going with a smaller group, you just got to make sure and be on the same page. You're going to wake up and we're going to hit the ground running, be at the golf course by 9 a.m. Boom. Okay? So we had that understanding. Also, this year, right after Thursday, I always recommend whatever concert they have, go to that. You don't got to be VIP. Went VIP the last 2 years. I don't think VIP. I think I had 1 or 2 drinks outside of the regular. I mean, VIP is good to grab a beer and maybe play some bags before the concert. But, you know, the way to go is just get to that concert on Thursday night. So you got the waste management. I would go Thursday and Friday of the waste. Okay. Why not Saturday and Sunday? I think it just, you know, it gets maybe a little bit repetitive. There's more people. Thursday, Friday, you're literally able to follow anyone you want. You can get close up and personal like John Rahm. Be able to see him on a par three, be within 2 feet. And it's not that you even, you know, I'm grown, I'm old now. But you're able to see these guys just how they approach shots. You could hear them talking to their caddy. It's just kind of insightful. Also, it's a beautiful golf course. No one's bothering you. The people that are working the course are all volunteers all over the country. You know, met a guy that drove down or flew down from Colorado, met another younger guy. He was been doing it for the last couple of years. He is actually from Illinois. And so just meeting a tremendous amount of people. Plus, in the Phoenix area, they have a lot of golf courses everywhere. So if you flew in that Wednesday, you could actually go golf on Wednesday, get a nice dinner, get all prepared, get ready, and then Thursday hit the ground running to go to the tournament. Also, with this year with the Super Bowl, it was insane. People are everywhere, a lot of fun. The one thing is, if you ever go to the Waste Management, there's a bar called there's a hotel, and I think it's off like the 6th Green or something. It's called like the Princess. You have to go to that after each and every day. I mean, it's a lively. Everyone's in a good mood. The sun's going down. You know, these guys stop playing when the sun starts to get a little dark. It's not dark though, so you could walk there, and then, you know, I mean, just grab a beer. People are just hanging out, just kind of like it's like a beach bar, that type of atmosphere. Everyone's really chill, excited, but no beach. So you ain't getting sand in your shoes. I plan on doing this Waste Management as long as I can. I think it's phenomenal. I mean, the only thing is also working with two people. If you decide to randomly, like this year, here was our plan. I'll just give you the 411. Went with a buddy, get down there Wednesday night. Because it was the Super Bowl, we checked out the whole area. It was bumping, excitement. Went to a bunch of bars on Wednesday night. Got up first thing in the morning, grabbed Starbucks, hit the course. Went to the course all day, hung out on 16, right? 16, we had, lucky enough, had a suite. Majority of the day, walked around the golf course quite a bit too. And then, you know, met another buddy, got us tickets for the Jason Aldean concert, went to the Jason Aldean concert that night, and then went out at the end of the night, went to a nice cigar lounge, had a cigar, was home by 12:30, 1 o'clock. Boom, woke up 7 o'clock, hit the course at 9. Feeling a little rough till about noon, not going to lie to you guys. Feeling a little rough about noon, and then boom, hit all in cylinders, followed all the golfers, checked out the different holes, just met a bunch of people, talking to everyone from a baseball player, to even though the guy played baseball, to, you know, a wealth manager, just, you know, inviting us, going to meet some people we met down there to go to Notre Dame, Ohio State game. So just if you could talk to everyone, it's just great. People are in such a good mood. And then we went to the Dave Matthews concert on that Friday night. It was awesome. But I will tell you, the highlight was walking around Friday. No agenda, no, hey, you want to sit here? We just literally walked around. I mean, the beers are like $12. Listen, you're not going to drink 1,000 beers in you might, but the beers are going to flow through you. It's hot out there. So you got to make sure. One thing is I messed up on sunscreen, little lip balm, you know, the lips got burned. I'm not going to lie to you. Little rookie mistake. But even if you don't like golf, I honestly do believe this. Phoenix is a great area. Scottsdale, they got good restaurants. Not that I ever even eat a full good meal when I'm down there, but because you're mostly just moving and grooving. But I recommend hanging out at the Princess after the golf, and then you can go down to like downtown Scottsdale if that's where you want to go, or go down to where the college campus is and check it out. Excuse me, this is a coffee talk with Timmy G. So that's one thing I wanted to hit on. Everyone's always like, oh, what do you know? You could talk about sports all you want, and you know, I love sports, but you got to experience sports, right? One of the things I want to do is eventually check out the Masters. I really do want to do that, depending on when I do that, 2BD. But that is something. But I definitely, 10 out of 10, the Waste Management. Now, Will, you know, I've discussed with other friends, do we go with like 4 people next time? I don't know. I mean, 2, it's just the person gets up and you're hitting the ground. You're not worried about one guy dragging ass or someone else, you know, not being ready, or, you know. Also, when you're, you know, if we had 4 dudes, we wouldn't have been able to get the VIP tickets for Jason Aldean that were gifted to us. Very blessed, right? Not saying four guys doesn't happen, because if you're going to golf on Wednesday and you do it right and you don't need all the VIP stuff, which is, you know, just be normal. I think just being normal is just as good, to be honest with you. It just depends. Having the 16th green does get the party, does get the weekend started. I mean, you know, you're able to actually now walk around and you can see different angles of 16. I thought you just had to stay in your own suite. You could actually just talk to people, and then next thing you know, you're checking out different angles of the suite. So I recommend that too. All right, that's enough, but I hope you took notes. I hope you check it out. It's in February, the beginning of February every year, so you can get your year off. Pop in everyone's, you know, oh, I vacation December. Who cares? It's everyone else is working. You're not going to miss anything. You go out there. You leave. You take a half day Wednesday and Thursday and Friday off. Come home Saturday and you're back for the Super Bowl. You're back. You're able to recover if you need to recover. I mean, I got three kids. There's no time for recovery, so I was fine. So that's where it is. Now let's go to the NFL offseason. First of all, the NBA is a terrible product. I will start watching it now. They did have some intriguing trades. Do like to see Kevin Durant on Phoenix. That's kind of cool. I don't have to deal with Kyrie's stuff. But the NBA is mostly like, it's a bad product. The PGA, speaking of, was becoming a unique product too, right? In a sense, it wasn't as fan-friendly as it could be. They started teaming up with things like Barstool, Golf for a younger demographic as far as marketing, advertising, and then Liv came. People could hate Liv all they want. I just want to let you know and how it's going to go back to the NBA. Liv, you could hate Liv, but Liv's opened up purses, made the PGA share more of the profitability with the golfers, and now they're also going to do no cuts. And I heard these traditionalists say, oh my gosh, they're going to have some tournaments with no cuts. It's like, yeah, we want to see Tiger Woods golf four rounds if he feels like it. I want to see Justin Thomas, if he's having a shitty day on, you know, Thursday, Friday, golf, because those dudes can shoot a 61. Go look. These guys have put records. They could get in the mix. How crazy golf is. Some of these guys are so damn good. They could shoot two rounds on out of the mix, didn't make the cut, and then be a top 10, win a damn tournament. You'll see that. Watch. Someone will come back. It'll be like the greatest thing, and it's because they didn't get cut. They would have missed the cut line, and then they win a tournament. That will happen in the next few years. Promise you. So how this affects it. The NBA needs to clean it up. Baseball's trying to do everything they can right now. Our sports are realizing the old way of doing it is not bringing the same demographic. It's not bringing the same crowd. It's not bringing the same amount of people to watch the games to fulfill the stadiums. And the NBA is in trouble. Why would you be a season ticket holder for any NBA? Half the players are doing the load management. Oh, I can't play this day. Okay. Well, listen. Sporting events are expensive as hell. I don't care where, if you're making $1 million or you're making $5. It's expensive. And so when you go, not only is it something that you have to, you know, plan a few days behind, right? You got to plan, right? Getting down to wherever it is. It's mostly in big areas, metro areas. You got to pay for parking. You got to arrange dinner. Like that stuff, you know what? You have to do all that stuff. And that's not even, you know, who cares? Take the cost out of it. It's time. You're spending a lot of time, right? You're probably spending an hour to 2 hours before the game, an hour to 2 hours to get home and get all back, right? That's just reality. That's 4 hours plus the game. Well, if you go there to see Luka, or you go there to see, I wouldn't say Giannis. He seems like he plays through everything. You go see Joel Embiid, who's one of the, you know, I think he's second in the running for MVP. LeBron James plays for the most part, you know, but anyone on the Clippers, you know, I don't know what Phoenix is doing with Kevin Durant now, whatever, but there's just load management. It's an issue. Players have called it out. You either need to shorten up the season or you need to make it like, hey, we're not doing back-to-backs. The NBA can do that. You don't have to do back-to-backs for any of these teams. You legit don't. What I mean by back-to-backs is game right after the next. They're going from one city to the other. These guys are traveling in private jets, and I know they're, you know, making millions and millions of dollars. They don't want to play back-to-backs. They want to rest their bodies. Because at the end of the day, if you watched any regular season in the NBA, they don't care. They talk about pad statting. No one plays defense. That's historically has happened in the last couple of years. It's not been that competitive. It's not that exciting. There's probably three or four teams that play throughout the whole thing. Defense comes in. These guys are scoring 180 points. I mean, it gets exciting for a while, but if there's 30 home runs in an MLB game every game, home runs don't become that exciting. You score in every single second doesn't become that exciting. College basketball is a better product if you like basketball than the NBA times 100. So the NBA needs to get their shit together. They already got smashed on Christmas. They used to run Christmas. They don't run Christmas anymore. The NFL does, right? The NFL will put in a rule and yank it out if it doesn't work. They don't give a shit if it's 8 weeks in. They'll yank it out. You know, I know a lot of people are like, well, the NBA, you know, the NFL has problems with penalties. It's like, listen, why don't you just stand on the field and be the ball boy at the Super Bowl and tell them you don't little poop your pants? You don't make a mistake. You don't grab the wrong ball. There's a lot of pressure on these people. Also, you can't grab a dude, especially when he's running an out and up. That's what happened on that last play in the Super Bowl people were crying about. Listen, Patrick Mahomes threw one incompletion in the second half. I don't have to tell you guys. He dominated Philly. Philly didn't play any defense and they lost. Just, it's a fact. Okay? When you can't stop the best player and he throws one incompletion, which he threw out of bounds, so he didn't get sacked, I'm sorry, you're not going to win. That's like a perfect, he literally threw a perfect game. You got no hits. Oh my God, why did we lose? We didn't hit the ball, right? I mean, just take it as it is. Another little sip of coffee. Shout out to my coffee. So now let's go back to, I think the NBA, I just want to go on. This is a little coffee talk, okay? I'm going to go do a little couple rants here. NBA, I'll start with trying to trickle in a few games. I think it's absolutely dog shit. It's more of an NBA or playoff sport now. I love that the NFL took over Christmas. I love watching football more than any other sport. Like college football is amazing, especially with the three-year rule. You're going to have these guys. I don't give a shit about the transfer portal. Make super teams. I don't care. I'm watching them all. Better players playing together. Doesn't matter to me. You know, I think actually some of these people are going to get like Florida got that one quarterback, and I don't even know how good he was. He was and I'm just going to give you some clarity on this NIL, where all the big teams are getting it. ASU, Arizona State, I don't think they're a powerhouse by any means. They were able to get one of like the top 10 freshmen coming in from a quarterback standpoint. He transferred out of Florida because he was pissed off about his team wanted like $10 million. The deal broke through. He left and went to ASU. They said there's no deal in with ASU yet. I find that hard to believe why he just dropped $10 million when he could have probably got like $3 million. From Florida, but these kids are going to make money, and rightfully so. We pack the stadiums to watch them play. It is what it is. Going to be pretty interesting. I want to keep an eye on the Texas quarterback situation, University of Texas. You got Eli Manning, this little, or whatever his name is, Archie Manning, and then you also have the kid that from Texas, and I'm now going to miss his name. Anyways, he's also getting paid $5 million. I think they're paying, I'm not exaggerating, $12 million for the two quarterbacks at Texas total in NIL, I believe. Something to be intriguing about. But let's go back now to the real thing, the NFL Combine. Teams are now not looking at the Combine. Not everyone is bringing representatives. Listen, a lot of old scouts, a lot of personnel and media. That will always be a media-driven event. The media loves going down there. You get to see your buddies that are working. You know, if you work at ESPN, you get to see your buddy from CBS. That networking of either scouts, you know, they love that. Coaches getting together. You know, some teams don't like to go. But it's a tradition, right? It's kind of like a little Thanksgiving for all NFL personnel that work on behind the scenes. All those scouts that you don't even know the names of that are going, driving to, you know, watch Division III football or, you know, going on the road, you know, 300 days a year. No joke. Those scouts are doing that for NFL teams. They're not flying and getting first class, you know, tickets. Some of them are flying, but those guys all get together and along with the media personnel, and they all hang out. As much as they love doing the combine and, you know, they're checking out all these guys running the 40, working out, doing the bench press, it's something to get. So I think that the combine will still continue to go. I think you're going to hear some teams don't need to go. Like, I mean, the Rams are like, we don't go. And you know, with the technology now, you don't necessarily need, and the private workouts and, you know, some of these guys just showing up, like Bryce Young. He's literally showing up to get measured, and he's going to hope to goodness that he measures at 6 foot, just pays the dude off that pays him, and he wants to, you know, he wants to weigh at 201 this year, right? Bryce Young wants to hit those two. He's not going to do anything else because he's going to have his NFL pro day. And you're like, well, Tim, what do you mean? He's literally going to be measured. He's going to get his blood drawn. He's going to get his physical done. He's going to get all his medical done, his height, weight, just like a physical, but a physical on steroids when you go to the doctor. He's going to have that done. He's going to interview, speak to some teams, get a little access, but he's not going to do anything from a physical standpoint. He's got the NFL Pro Day. He's going to check two boxes, the most important ones. Well, three, I guess, now with Kenny Pickett's hand situation. Height. He's going to hope to goodness they got him at 5'10 and a half, close to 6 foot, right? And he's going to want to be 201, well, really 200 or more. Now, on his NFL Pro Day at Alabama, he'll probably be 195, 190. He's not going to weigh. He's losing that extra weight if it's bad weight. He's literally going to be just comfortable, ready to throw to receivers he knows, and just be ready to rock and roll. That's what's going to happen. Devontae Smith did the same thing. Remember Devontae Smith? He was in the Super Bowl. He's the wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. He was super, super small, they said, right? He's under six something, and he weighed 180 pounds. Well, he came in, I think he weighed 190 something, and he took his measurables and his medicals, and it worked out fine for him. I still think he went in the first round to the Eagles, right? So that's what the combine is. People got to realize it's not necessarily – you're always going to have someone that jumps off the screen. There's always an outlier, right, that's going to run a super fast, you know, a couple guys, right, in each position. Like, oh, man, athletically, holy cow, they were just the combine warrior of the week. Those people that you never heard of are going to, you know, be able to get more looks. Scouts are going to send out. They're going to have more people at their pro days than they would have before the combine. But it kind of gives the underdog, you know, an opportunity. So I think the combine's here to stay, okay? I think it was pretty exciting that you know, people that get invited that you might never heard of, you know, be able to grab their draft stock for maybe undrafted or not necessarily undrafted because you got to be pretty much a good prospect. But, like, say you're going to go in the sixth round, they might jump to the third round because of the combine. I always think that's pretty cool. You'll hear about those stories. Mel Kiper will cry. He'll be like, oh, I don't have him on my sheet on the second or third day. I don't even know where that guy is. That was a reach. And then, you know what? The reach happened to have all the metrics for that team and fit good in the system, and it works out. So, and it's all because of something like the combine. Plus, everyone gets to have their little Thanksgiving. You'll see on social media, all these guys will tell you, and gals, they like to just get with each other, break bread. I mean, it's kind of like a convention for whatever work you're in, right? Everyone gets together. You're doing some business, but in most of it, you're breaking bread, seeing people, and you're seeing how the families are going. Now I want to go back to all the smoke around the first pick. The Chicago Bears own the first pick. The Bears are going to interview quarterbacks. Listen, any smart team, any smart GM, any smart defensive coordinator, any smart offensive coordinator, the NFL is a small ecosystem. There's a reason these recycled coaches get. These coaches are like, how do you get his fourth, fifth chance? They are a small system. People like consistency. People like predictability. The NFL wants predictability, right? They want to know what they can predict. The problem, I will tell you, about like the Eric Bieniemy, right? He is the offensive coordinator. Andy Reid tried his damnedest to get this guy a head coaching job. I don't know who Eric Bieniemy pissed off. He obviously aggravated some people, right? You got other people getting jobs. guy in Houston was a defensive coordinator for the 49ers. Ryan's, he used to play for the Houston Texans too. He got a job for before Eric Bieniemy. More people know Eric Bieniemy because he's been the offensive coordinator for quite some time for the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's the problem. The NFL ecosystem doesn't believe he's coaching. He's calling any plays. The plays he does call that shows in the sidelines, those were scripted in beforehand, they believe. They think Andy Reid is running that offense. And you know what? They learned their lesson when they had Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy was able to bring a couple concepts to the table. But Matt Nagy and most offensive coordinators that are working for Andy Reid, they're just show puppets in a sense, right? They're working on, you know, one or two things, or he's asking them to do a lot of research behind the scenes. They're not calling the plays. They just aren't. No matter what we want to hear from Andy Reid. Andy Reid wanted to get his guy. Andy Reid is a loyal, loyal dude. He had his son on staff, and his son was getting hammered. He's taking in players that no one else wanted. He's taking problem childs that people couldn't even do. Look at Tony this year. Tony was the key player, punt return for the NFL, or punt return for the Super Bowl. Tony was had the touchdown when they ran that play, and they, you know, he scored a touchdown when no one was by him. Had two huge plays for them. The Giants got rid of the guy. He's a first-round pick last year. They didn't want anything to do with him. Always had a hamstring injury. Was a problem child, they said. A lot of character issues. This isn't me saying this shit. This is stuff is reported. This guy was a pain in the ass for the Giants. The Giants and their coaching staff, their GM, had enough. And so at the end of the day, they made the decision. They traded him to KC, and KC utilized him. And Andy Reid historically has done this. Now, you might be asking yourself, well, what, Tim, does that have anything to do with Eric Bieniemy? Eric Bieniemy did a lot of crazy stuff and bad shit when he was younger as a player, as a coach at the University of Colorado. There's must be some more internal information, right? There's other instances that must have happened that weren't reported. I'm just telling you, based on him not getting a job, him having to go to a team with no quarterback where they have Sam Howell on their team in the Washington Redskins. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. The Washington Redskins taking over their offense does not sound appealing, okay, to no one. They don't even have a quarterback right now. What are they going to do? Are they going to go out in free agency? Are they going to go out and draft someone? And if they do draft someone, you know, you're hoping that you're able to develop this rookie in the very short period of time so that you can, in return, get this offense so it, you know, can actually get some attention so you can get another coaching opportunity, because you were in a prime spot at KC, but KC realized, I think, and so Eric Bieniemy did, in order to take that next level, he's never going to get the respect unless he runs his own team, right? So that's what we have with Eric Bieniemy. I don't know. I will also say is the NFL hides everything until it doesn't, right? People in the internal circles knew the Carter kid that was going number one, supposedly Jalen Carter, that he had something to do with that. With that death, he had something to do with the crash. They already knew about that before ESPN hit the highlight or hit the headlines yesterday. They knew. Todd McShay said there was character issues. Everyone was busting his balls, like, "Hey, Todd McShay, you don't even know what you're talking about." Boom, then it comes out. Todd McShay just kind of gave you a little bit of insight about what was happening before. Look, Dan Snyder, you never knew that he was such a crook. You knew he was annoying and you knew all that crazy stuff, but you didn't know until you know. Look, no one knew that he took $550 million as a loan and put his team as one of his assets, which you can't do, and used it as a piggy bank and did whatever the hell he wanted. You didn't know that there was bad coaching or bad work environment until you knew, right? Also, there was an NFL survey on how bad the facilities are. Did you know the Arizona Cardinals charge these guys to eat at their facility? They're paying them $200 million for Kyler, but they want to charge him $5 for some mac and cheese. You didn't know until you know, right? So what I'm trying to say is there's got to be something about Eric Bieniemy that we don't know. I hope not. It's not just that he's, dude, people get, Rex Ryan got interviewed. The guy has been a coach in 6 years, is on ESPN making hot takes. So there, people like to work with people they like. So either piss someone off and no one likes this guy or something. But Ron Rivera brought him. We'll see how they do. But now, the draft. I wanted to circle up that, right? The draft, there's going to be a lot of smoke. The Bears have to talk to these new quarterbacks because, one, they want to see, one, what are these quarterbacks of? What are their strengths and weaknesses? So when we do play them, or, you know what, down the road, I get another job. I know who these people are. I know about them. You always do that. You have to do your due diligence. Yes, Justin Fields is the future. We have him on contract for minimum of 2 more years, probably really controlled under 3 with the franchise tag option. It's the make or break next year for Fields. If you don't surround him with anyone, he's going to have a bad year. He's not going to be able to improve his passing because the windows aren't going to open up, and then that's on the Bears, and, you know, they're idiots. But here's what I would do, and I want to break this down. Most important part of the podcast right here. I'm the GM. I'm Ryan Poles. Here's what I want to do. I would trade out of the number one spot immediately. Before Derek Carr lands, before Aaron Rodgers comes out of his hole and shows us if the groundhog's seen a shadow or not, before Jimmy Garoppolo gets an offer, before Baker Mayfield decides to take a job, and I'm not saying Baker Mayfield moves the needle, but I'm telling you, a team will take a, will fulfill that and then go from there. And what I mean by that, if they sign a veteran, even if they're not in love with them, say it's a 2-year deal with Baker, that doesn't mean they're going to go out and spend draft capital. They might wait to the second, third round to get a quarterback. Also, we don't know if we're going to have a last year. I know the draft class is better this year, supposedly, than last year, but we don't know that. They might slip into the second, third round. And if that happens, we're screwed. Ryan Tannehill, does he get cut? Does he become a free agent? You know, these guys aren't the greatest, and they don't pop off, but they're also predictive. You could predict what they're going to bring to the table. And so the more that these veteran quarterbacks start to settle in, Derek Carr just met with the Colts. Do the Colts pull the trigger? If the Colts pull the trigger, that takes away you using Houston against the Colts. They're in the same division. You takes that negotiating power against you. Also, it takes the Colts out of the mix. They're not going to move up from 4 to 1 so they can get in front of Houston when they got Derek Carr or they sign someone else. So what I'm trying to say is at least make a move and see how much you can get. So if several teams are really calling you, what's the best offer there? Also, people want to know, is Jalen Carter off your big board? No, let him slip. If we slip, he slips, we'll get him. You got to do your due diligence. What the hell actually happened? You know what? It was just reported the guy was drag racing with his friend. His friend lost control and he smashed into a tree and he left the scene. Did he have some beers? Did he freak out as a 19-year-old or 20-year-old? Didn't know what the hell to do, then realized, oh my God, what just happened? We don't know. I wasn't there. Obviously, what he did was 100% wrong. I'm sure he has a tremendous amount of regrets. Not only did he make a young 19-year-old mistake, but he lost 3 friends. I'm sure he's pretty damn devastated by that. But let's also allow the facts to come out. Just because what I just told you, Todd McShay knew this was on the board. Everyone was like, no, it's not. What are you talking about? His character issues. Now they're just saying he's the worst kid, worst 20-year-old, and made the worst mistake. You know, you acted like you gave the kid, he gave a gun to his friend to shoot someone. Like, you know, I don't know what happened with Alabama. That's not really what happened supposedly either. I don't know. All I'm saying is let the facts come out. Let it run. Is, you know, it's the duration of the case before we judge the conclusions, because who the hell knows what happened. Just like with the kid from the Alabama, he didn't actually bring the gun to his friend. The gun was already hidden in his car. He didn't even know about. There's a lot of things you have to not listen on Twitter. They only could put so many characters in that thing. You know, people are looking for hot takes. There's a reason why Stephen A. Smith's the highest paid person at ESPN. Let it go. Let it go. Okay. Just let it play out. So I think the Bears need to trade immediately before free agency if they can, if they got it nice. Now, it's easy for me to say I don't know what type of offers they have on the table. But when the dust settles and you're just standing there because you didn't make a move, that could be a big problem. And I don't want the Bears to do that. I think you need to, you know, the best goal is, I'll tell everyone, if you could possibly get a second round pick and a first round next year and keep a top 10 pick, that's knocking out of the park. Worst case scenario is you only get like a third round pick and you move one spot. Or you stay in the spot and just pick someone you weren't able to get any equity for, it because you need a team, an entire team. You have so many holes. That's obviously been a given. The other thing is, I think the most important piece is if you can get a first round next year from a team that's, you don't project to be one of the top teams in the NFL. And in the NFL always has a lot of ups and downs, teams that don't make the playoffs and teams that do make the playoffs. I think it's like a turnaround of like 50%. So you never know. But if you can get a first round pick next year, if Fields doesn't work out, at least you have two first round picks going into, you know, next year. And I hope Fields does, because obviously his athletic ability is second to none, but he's got to be able to throw through windows and we got to get some support around him. And I tell everyone this, we don't know what we have. Jalen Hurts had similar stats as Justin Fields did this year, the year before. He got A.J. Brown. Is there an A.J. Brown out there? A lot of T. Higgins conversation. Why don't you go get your own quarterback or your own wide receiver? People that are saying they're not going to be traded. A.J. Brown wasn't traded till he was traded. He even said, I didn't know I was traded till I found out on Twitter. Everyone told me I wasn't getting traded. And then they got an offer. They wanted it. They moved it. It's just facts. It's a very quick, precise conversations are happening. You never know what's going to happen. We'll see what the Bears do. It should be interesting. Try not to read every headline that you're seeing out there. Let's see what happens. I'm going to do another podcast right before free agency. There's going to be some good running backs on the table. But we need an offensive line. I don't care if you have, you know, Emmitt Smith in the backfield. You have to be able to block. And I think the offensive line was starting to get good. But let's go out there, maybe get one or two veteran or younger guys and sign them to a nice four-year contract. Get some offensive line. Also, let's shore up that defensive line. Both those are super important. It allows your wide receivers to get more space because they have more time to run a route. Allows your quarterback to digest, which is a quarterback that needs to have time to not just run, but to look who's open, to hit windows. Maybe the windows get just slightly bigger with a better offensive line. Defensive line, you put pressure on a quarterback, you don't have to have the greatest corners in the world because you're going to allow bad throws to happen. Quarterbacks aren't able, or wide receivers aren't able to get in their breaks. These are just facts. I just want to end this with this. Don't believe all the smoke. Let things digest. The Bears need to make a trade sooner than later before the dust settles. Get what they can. Because you can make multiple trades, but let's make one now. Let's get some equity. And we'll see what happens out of the combine. Like I said, it's all about measurables at the combine. And a couple people you never heard of jump off the table. They become combine warriors for the weekend, which is always awesome. In the meantime, plan your next sporting trips with a buddy or 10 buddies. But don't be hesitant to do and plan something cool for you and your friends. Because I think it's awesome. Like I said, waste management is something that you maybe should look at next year. I'll definitely hopefully be there. But start to look at that stuff. In the meantime, this was Coffee Talk with Timmy G. Listen, I talked about everything. If you followed that, you took notes, bless your heart. I hope it was entertaining. Let's go. Have ourselves a day. Combine starts today. Golf starts today. 39 minutes and 5 seconds. I'm out.